بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة صدق الله العظيم My most respected brothers and elders, our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver. Alhamdulillah, as we said, the month of Rabiul Awwal, we hear many more talks than the rest of the year regarding the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, I mentioned very clearly that the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is so vast, and it's not only specified for the month of Rabiul Awwal only. Throughout the year, alhamdulillah, we do mention different aspects of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout the year, and other ulama as well. But because it was the month in which Rasulullah was born, Rabiul Awwal, the month in which he passed away, there are many, many benefits that we can take from the different aspects of his seerah. And in the month of Rabiul Awwal, we find there are more talks about the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, etc. And I mentioned in the previous majlis that we should sit with the intention that I'd be imbibe in myself some important lesson that I am learning regarding the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not just some talk or some majlis or some waaz, nasiha. It is something for myself mainly, and of course the listeners. You will find different guidelines and the manner in which Rasulullah conducted himself, the impeccable character he had, the standard of akhlaq that Allah Ta'ala mentioned, that he, verily you are on a lofty standard, a very high character, the manner in which he conducted himself with his sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, etc., etc. So they are lessons for ulama-i kiram, especially students of deen, for all of us. Different things will be discussed, inshallah. We'll see how much we can discuss tonight, inshallah, with the tawfiq and fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are some narrations that are found in the Shama'il of Imam At-Tirmidhi rahmatullah. It's a very big kitab, Jami'u Tirmidhi, and then Imam Tirmidhi has written Shama'il Tirmidhi, in which the features of Rasulullah have been mentioned, the conduct of Rasulullah, the sublime conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his mannerisms, the etiquettes, the manner in which he ate food, what type of food he ate, his walking, his sleeping, his talking, his dealing with people. So these are things for all of us to take lessons from. Now this first narration that I'm going to mention, this comes in the chapter of the Akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the narration of Hassan bin Ali radiallahu anhu, Hassan, the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And of course Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved his grandsons tremendously. A various narration mentioned. There is a narration where once Rasulullah was on the minbar delivering a khutbah, delivering a talk to the sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, and suddenly his two young grandsons, they entered the masjid. They were very small at that time, and as they're walking, they're stumbling, and Rasulullah leaves his talk, his sermon, his khutbah. He descends, he goes forward, and he picks them up. He hugs them, he kisses them, and he says, "These are my fragrance in this dunya. Innahuma rayhanatay fi dunya. They are my fragrance, they are my risk, my sustenance." So Hassan radiallahu anhu narrates his hadith, and he says, "I asked Ibnu Abi Hala." Abu Hala was the husband of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha in the early days before she married Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and her son, he's known as Ibn Abi Hala, his nickname was Abu Abdullah. So he becomes now the uncle of Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, because Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha is the mother of Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma. So Ibn Abi Hala is her half-brother. They have the same mother, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala. So Ibn Abi Hala, from amongst the Sahaba, he was one particular outstanding person who could depict the features of Rasulullah SAW in the most beautiful way. And his various mannerisms and etiquette. So he narrated this to Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, who was very curious to know much more about his nana. So there was a time Hassan radiallahu anhu said, I asked my uncle, I got this information, but I didn't mention this to Hussein. For various reasons, Hussein radiallahu anhu was a bit smaller, or he, ulama say he wanted Hussein radiallahu anhu also to inquire. So one day I decided to tell my brother Hussein radiallahu anhu about many aspects about the beloved Nana, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, but before I could even tell him, فَقَدْ سَبَقَنِي, he already beat me, he preceded me, he finished, go and ask Ibn Abi Hala. No, he asked their father Ali radiallahu anhu. And then both the brothers are discussing this narration, in which it is mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ دَائِمَ الْبِشْرِ, he was always smiling. That is something all of us have to try and bring in our lives. Of course, there are times when you will smile, and there are times when you will not smile. There are times when you have to be sad. There are times when you will be happy. In a mort mayyit, in a funeral, don't expect the person who lost his father, mother, or his child to be laughing and joking there. There is huzan there. There is grief. Person is getting married. His nikah is taking place. He's expected to smile, to be happy. Sometimes we find the poor bridegroom is sitting in front of the maulana. He's trembling already. He may be practicing what he's going to say. Nakahtuha wa qabiltuha. Don't know if malakul maut is over him or what. It's a happy occasion. You should be happy when you enter your home. Imagine you entering your home with a happy, a smiling face. Won't the wife and the family people become excited and happy? So this is something we all need to do. Rasulullah mentioned, لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا وَلَوْ أَن تَلْقَى أَخَاكَ بِوَجْهٍ طَرِيقٍ. Do not regard any good deed, ma'ruf. Ma'ruf means those deeds authorized, sanctioned, or ordered by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those deeds that Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, these are good. Ma'ruf by sharia. So don't think low or insignificant of any good deed. Even meeting your Muslim brother with a smiling face. Most of these ahadith today, which I'm going to be discussing, seriously pertain to myself first. So I need to bring these good qualities in my life. Rasulullah mentioned, وَتَبَسُّمُكَ فِي وَجْهِ أَخِيكَ لَكَ صَدَقَةً. Your smiling at your Muslim brother is like giving charity in the path of Allah. It is sadaqah for you. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi, when he explained good character, mentioned three things. Badul ma'ruf, doing good things, kaful adha, refrain from harming any person, and talaqatul wajh, smiling at people. You know how many muscles you'll exercise just by one smile. So simple, just to smile at a person. But unfortunately, as I mentioned the other day, we smile at the wrong people. The female rep coming to us, to our business places or wherever, then we have a full broad smile. But when we enter our homes, the smile vanishes. Look at, this is the sunnah of Rasulullah. This is seerah. This is Quran and hadith. This is what we need to bring in our lives. Imagine, I told the students the other day, that if I am standing there and I'm smiling as you're entering the madrasa, how happy the students will get. But you see, my God, this very sticky face, oof, become a, already they are afraid. The teacher in the schools, the teacher welcomes the pupils. In the business world, imagine the boss is standing there and smiling at his workers. They might think sign of qiyamah this is. But this is a sunnah. We must try. Nobody can perfect himself. There are some people who naturally smile. Naturally smile. You know, a person very close to me is a doctor. He naturally smiles. All the time he's smiling. So he's doing his rounds in the hospital. He heard there's another Muslim brother, elderly person. He's not well, wasn't his patient. Out of courtesy, he went to see him. So he said, I am doctor so and so. But he's smiling. That patient was undergoing some pain. He said, bhai, if you only know what I'm going through, you won't be smiling at me. Now, it was a natural smile he had. But some of us have to put up the smile, try for the sake of sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah was always smiling. And then he says, سَهْلَ الْخُلُقْ لَيِّنَ الْجَانِبِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a very beautiful, a good temperament. He was easygoing. He was soft in nature. He wasn't somebody difficult to deal with. He treated people with kindness. لَيْسَ بِفَضٍ وَلَا غَلِيدٍ He wasn't harsh, neither was he hard-hearted. Soft person. Can you imagine Rasulullah? When you picture Rasulullah, how handsome he was. And his akhlaq, his manners, soft in nature. Listening to the people, to whatever they, the problems they had. Listening to the wife, listening to the his children, grandchildren, to the workers, whoever, society. لَيِّنَ جَالِبٌ Quran says, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْ فَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, if you were to be harsh, cruel, shouting at the people, being very hard-hearted, cruel, not easy, not helping them, not having a soft heart, not pardoning, not overlooking, not forgiving, لَنْ فَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ Sahaba would run away from around you. They'll disperse. They won't sit with you. But you find the Sahaba would cling onto Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Because he was... He had excellent akhlaq. He was had a soft nature. He had a good temperament. وَلَا سَخَابٍ He wasn't clamorous, making a din all the time. Never. Many times when we get together, there's a din. Some people are very noisy all the time. So Rasulullah was not clamorous. He wouldn't shout. He wouldn't scream. وَلَا فَحَّاشٍ He wasn't obscene. So Rasulullah would speak gently, speak politely. Now, Mawla Rumi Rahmatullah says, raise your words. Raise your words, not your voice. Rain, it is rain that grows the flowers, not the thunder. It is rain that grows the flowers. Nice, gentle rain, not the thunder, the deafening sound, the cracking sound of the thunder. Person who speaks politely, gently, softly, kindly, then he'll get results. So he says, raise your voice. In other words, use kind words. Use good words. But not your voice. وَلَا فَحَاشٍ wasn't obscene, wasn't rude. In our circles, how often you find people get together, sometimes Allah forgive us, outside the masjid, or in the bazaar, in marketplaces, workplaces, or many times over some meal, whatever it is. Bring deen, make deen. Not talking about other people, but deen about our own selves, how we can improve ourselves. Talk about Quran, Sunnah. Not make post-mortem of people. We have become, our lives have become such, believe me, if you really look at it and ponder, not about others, look at ourselves. We have become a very sick society. Really. It's just finding faults in people and talking about this and that. We never look at the person standing alone in front of the mirror. Stand alone in front of the mirror yourself and then look at your own faults. We've got so much to change in our lives. So when we're sitting together, some person will make some rude jokes. How often, believe me, because we're not in, alhamdulillah, in so much of this groups and things like that, WhatsApp groups and things like that, but sometimes somebody passes on something, then alhamdulillah, if I'm able to address it immediately after some time, I would try and bring it to his attention, because some of the words we use can actually border on kufr. We are mocking sometimes aspects of deen. Aspects of deen. Not realizing what we are doing. So we should not be obscene. Talk rude things. Okay? And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find that he was, you know, when I said he was soft-hearted, he was tender, he always showed affection to people. They say, سَرِيعُ الْعَطْفِ كَثِيرُ الْلُطْفِ Polite. He always forgave people. You wouldn't find him to be always opposing people. There's some people in their blood, in their nature, they're very quarrelsome. Always don't oppose people. Even if somebody's doing right, he'll find some fault and he'll oppose the person. If somebody has done some good, then give him the credit what's due to him. Praise him. He can be your enemy as well. If you're a true, genuine believer, you won't be a person who will just look for his faults, and when he does any good, then you cover the good. You don't want people to hear about the good. That's not a true believer. Then he's mentioned, وَلَا أَيَّابًا He wouldn't find, he wasn't a fault finder. And a person who falls fines all the time, they say it's driven by his nature to be one, a person to control, and he must be the best, and everybody else is inferior to him. In English is a good word mentioned, ayyab. He's a captious person. All the time. And therefore, it is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah that this was not the quality of Rasulullah. Or even finding fault in food and things. We don't like something, don't eat it. Give some kind words to the wife, to the mother, sister, daughter, whoever made that food. If Rasulullah did not like any particular food, then he would not eat it. He would never find faults in that food. And the Prophet ﷺ, ma'aba dawaqan qattu, wala aaba ta'aman qattu. Never found faults in something. Oh, it's too strong, there's no salt in it. He was a buzurg. We reach a maqam, it's mentioned in the kitabs. For you and I, might we find it very difficult to understand. It happened in the past, many, many years ago. That somebody was looking for his buzurg. So they go to his house, find out, the wife said, what buzurg? He's like this and he's like that. So he went away, somebody said, no, you'll find him somewhere there in the jungle side. And he sees him riding an animal like a lion. And he was so brave. And somebody, he asked him, but how is this possible? He said, no, I make sabar at home and there's so much of hen pecking. I don't ever complain. And on that Allah subhanahu gave me this power. Another person, he was a friend of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him Jannah, somebody saw in the dream. So the dream. So how did it fail? How did it go? He said, no, Allah pardon me. So because all your piety, he said, no, Allah looked at one quality in mind. What's that quality? He said, one day at home when I came having meals, there was too much of salt in the food. But I didn't frown, I didn't make a noise. I ate the food and I showed so much enjoyment in eating the food. On that Allah forgave me. Just on some extra salt in the food. Now I hope the mothers and sisters don't take advantage of this. Tomorrow's biryani will have too much of salt. They want to test us to see how, if you're listening to the bayan or not. But we must try and be humble servants and try and implement these things. See, we need to be smiling, we need to have a soft nature to the best of our ability. We should not be harsh, not be hard-hearted, don't make noise and become boisterous and clamorous, don't be obscene, don't find faults in people. Wala mushahin. And Rasulullah was never stingy. I mentioned the other day, the only time he said, La ilaha illallah. La, no, when he said, La ilaha illallah. When anybody came, if he had it, he'll give the person. If he didn't have it on person, he'll tell the Sahaba, anybody has got that, to give it. And if they didn't have it at that time, or Rasulullah was alone, he'll call him on another day. And at that time, he'll send him off with some kind word. He was never stingy. Never stingy, never miserly. يَتَغَافَلُ أَمَّا لَا يَشْتَهِ وَلَا يُؤْيِسُ مِنْهُ رَاجِيهِ وَلَا يُجِيبُ فِيهِ. So if something is presented to Rasulullah ﷺ, see some type of food or whatever it is, and Rasulullah ﷺ was not desirous of it. Human nature sometimes, not everything that you put and you have to eat it. There's one person, Bishara, he doesn't eat dates. He can't eat dates. And they went somewhere, maybe gush, and then somebody's house, and the person gave all of them dates. So he had to take it. Mare sharam now. How can he say, I don't eat dates? So he took it. Poor fellow, right through, as he's sitting there, he's swearing from one side to the other in his mouth. And if he doesn't eat something, he said, no, maaf, I do not eat it. Rasulullah SAW did not eat. If he didn't like something, he abstained from it. But at the same time, somebody who was looking forward to eat it, he never stopped that person. Himself, he won't force himself to partake of that food or that particular food, but he would not stop somebody else who was desirous of it. This is akhlaq. قَدْ تَرَكَ نَفْسُهُ مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ. There were three things specifically Rasulullah ﷺ abstained from, amongst many other things, but three things I've mentioned in this particular hadith. Number one, al-mira'u. Mira means to argue all the time, jidal. Fight all the time, argue all the time. In the hadith is mentioned of Rasulullah SAW, مَنْ تَرَكَ الْمِرَاءَ وَهُ مُحِقٌ بَنَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. That person who leaves out arguing, fighting, quarreling, husband and wife, how many homes? It's the qiyamah day. Allah forgive us, Allah protect us. You have an argument, human beings. Make maaf. Say good words, say kind words. This is what we learned, especially from Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahib Rahmatullahi in this masjid. Oh, all the time. I can never remember my in-laws ever fighting or arguing in front of us ever. If they had some misunderstanding, you would never see it on the any one of the faces. This is akhlaq. Don't hurt the person. Be kind. You didn't like something, there was some misunderstanding. Forgive, forget. This silent treatment that we give our wife, sometimes it's a very long silent treatment. Especially in today's days, we're going to cause great, great injury to ourselves, our spouses, and to our family. A lot of harm will take place. Perhaps in the past, where they had, they were strong people. You can't do this today. So be kind, forgive, overlook. Your children are watching you. And we have had experience many times in the past. There were children who came to us. And you could see, because they were from broken homes, the effect on them. Child seeing the mother and father swearing, shouting all the time. You know what pain it causes the child? Where does the child go? Runs away in the room. Doesn't want to come out of the room. Locks the himself or herself in the room. And they grow up to, even the daughter doesn't want to get married anymore. Or she doesn't want to get married. She's seen what her mother has gone through. Who are to blame? We are to blame. We talk about, we love Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We feel that we are very pious. This is piety. Bring the sunnah of Rasulullah's teachings. And as I mentioned in the beginning, wallahi, myself is. I failed in this. Allah, give me tawfiq before maut comes. Allah, help me to bring these good qualities of Rasulullah. So al-mira, he didn't fight all the time. And then, well, iktar, according to some riwayats, iktar means iktarul kalam, kathratul kalam, speaking excessively. Many times we have this problem, we speak excessively. There should be more silence in our lives than speaking too much. Yes, you speak when the need arises. Because sometimes we will say things not realizing, and it could be hurtful to some person. We said it in a joke, and sometimes we say it in a joke and the person doesn't do anything, and that one day he has some problem. He's not in a very good mood, and you said something that probably you may have said it before, but you hurt his feeling, and that day he becomes so upset, so I've seen it in front of my own eyes. And then a fight ensues. They break off ties for the rest of their life. And other riwayat got al-ikbar, which means i'azam. Rasul always was humble. He never wanted, he never had haughtiness and, you know, demanded to be respected by every people. Respected Rasulullah, kana fakhman mufakhman, but he didn't show arrogance and pride in himself. So yeah, ikthar could be refer to asking or speaking excessively, or the other word is referring to ikbar, which means becoming acting very, very lofty and great and superior. And the third thing, wama la ya'nihi, which he mentioned previously also, Rasulullah abstained from futility. Everything which was futile. And if you look at our own life from the morning till the evening, if not 90%, we see of the things that we have said for the day, or done for the day, or heard for the day, has got absolutely no, nothing to do with our coming closer to Allah Ta'ala, and something which is zarurat for us, necessary for our deen, nor our dunya also. Futile things. Min husni Islam al mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. From the beauty of the Islam of a person is he's leaving out all those things that do not concern him. Go to our dawat. Eating. Started with a papar, and already we're papering one way there. We are talking about this one and that one, and just ghibat and namima and carrying tales and if that person made his mamla with Allah saaf, he made tawbah, istighfar, we made ghibat of him, and we don't ask him for forgiveness, and he knows that we made ghibat of him, and he passed away, or we passed away, what happens then? It's like eating the carrion of a Muslim brother or sister. Something that we have to now, this is islah. Islah is not giving so much of dhikr, and you making dhikr, and now you became a murid of one sheikh, and now you're a big buzrug. No, no, no. That's nothing to do with islah. That's why Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah, he was known as Hakim al-Ummah. We talk about tazkiyah and tasawuf, he was the master. He would say, if you know, make islah, then go to that buzrug, you know. And you become a murid, sorry.
If you don't become a murid, go there, go there. If you don't become a human being, then you come surround you. Insan ban now, to idhar aja. This is what we supposed to have naturally. And we are Muslims, we have got Quran, Hadith. You know what teachings we have with us? Such beautiful teachings, just to bring into our lives. Nobody is perfect. We will try certain things. We might not get right in our life, but at least we're making a good effort. So, futile talks, futile things. We should try and abstain from it totally. Then, وَتَرَكَ النَّاسَ مِنْ فَلَاثٍ. As far as people are concerned, three things he was very careful. كَانَ لَا يَذُمُّ أَحَدًا وَلَا يَعِيبُهُ وَلَا يَتُّبُ عَوْرَتَهُ. So, وَكَانَ لَا يَذُمُّ أَحَدًا. He never criticized any person. Never criticize any person. Never blame any person. And he would never find faults in any person, which I mentioned already. Wasn't ayyab, wouldn't find faults. وَلَا يَطْلُبُ عَوْرَتَهُ. He wouldn't pursue looking for and digging for something to find a fault in him. People today sit with a binoculars and looking from far for some wrong that this person is doing. And what is the purpose? Not Islam. Not to correct the person. If somebody does wrong, then it is your duty, if you are able to explain to him, you have the authority in a nice way, a kind way, explain to him, but this is incorrect, this is how you should do it. Or tell somebody else who is able to tell the person. But we leave it at that. Our job is just what we like, and what pleases us is to criticize people, find faults in people, pursue their faults. وَلَا يَتَكَلَّمُ إِلَّا فِي مَا رَجَى ثَوَابَهُ. Some would only speak with those things in which he had hopes he would be rewarded for. You find the Ahlullah, Salafi Salihin, Sahaba, Tabi'een, they would follow this. You find even in their informal meetings, gatherings, person is sitting, we've got a few people, they would talk about some aspect of dunya, it's not haram, but they were very careful what they would talk. They won't criticize people, they won't find faults, they won't make ghibah. But you'll find always the person who is a friend of Allah, he'll connect the people to Allah Ta'ala. We have seen that. Arif Billah Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, how often, so many of us have sat with him, met him, even when he used to be sitting and sort of resting, then too he's talking, connecting us to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. There may be some light-hearted discussion, but immediately it's connected to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So these are things we need to practice upon. Rasulullah was very careful about this. And وَإِذَا تَكَلَّمَ أَطْرَقَ جُلَسَاؤُهُ كَأَنَّمَا عَلَى رُؤُوسِهِمْ الطَّيْرِ. And Rasulullah would speak, he had such an awe that the Sahaba would lower their heads and sit in such a way that as even a bird, as though a bird was perched on their heads, they won't even move. It was as though birds were perched on their heads, they wouldn't sway, they just listen with full attention and utmost respect. Now brothers, you and I should not do that because we're going to deep sleep just now. We see Sakina is coming now and the person is fast asleep. So Rasulullah would speak, and this was his type of the gathering. The Sahaba would lower their heads. And they say, فَإِذَا سَكَتَ تَكَلَّمُوا. When Rasulullah himself remained silent, now the Sahaba would speak. But how would he speak? لَا يَتَنَازَعُونَ عِنْدَهُ الْحَدِيثِ. Which means, they all won't speak at once. They won't fight to speak first. Look at our circles, our gatherings, and we speak so many times. The one person, he gives nobody else a chance to speak. Anything, somebody starts something, he just started the sentence, and this person carries on, he doesn't give people a chance, no. The person who spoke first, and everybody else would listen. They won't fight to speak first. They all will listen to this person who is speaking. وَمَنْ تَكَلَّمَ عِنْدَهُ أَنْسَتُوا لَهُ حَتَّى يَفْرُغَ. The one who is speaking until he does not finish off, all the other Sahaba will remain silent until he is over. Then the important thing, حَدِيثُهُمْ عِنْدَهُ حَدِيثُ أَوَّلِهِمْ. This is kamal, that Rasulullah will listen to each one attentively, and the manner in which he would lend his ears to them was equal to all. It's not that the first two, three people he heard them and in great length, and he heard the whole, give them a lot of time, and the last few just rushed them through. No. Just as the first person had that amount of time, the last person also had the similar amount of time, to present whatever he needed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then يضحك مما يضحكون منه ويتعجب مما يتعجبون. This again, Kamal, the man is a Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest of all Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam, the most pious person in this world, the greatest of all mankind, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, besides the Ruh Allahumma salli wa sallam. But see the balance in his life, the balance. This is something, our wheel balancing is not right. We go extremes. He found time. If he's sitting with Sahaba, of course, I said, they're very particular, they won't talk futile things. But if something amazed the Sahaba, he would share in that, provided it's not something haram. Okay, something was permissible, and somebody said something good, which pleased him, or surprised him. So Rasulullah would also share in his happiness. The ulama have mentioned, تَأْنِيسًا لَهُمْ وَجَبْرًا لِقُلُوبِهِمْ, to make his heart feel nice also. He's a human being. He's an ordinary person. Something is making him happy. Perhaps he's talking about something good that happened to him. Rasulullah will also become happy. Show happiness in his happiness. And if something amazed him, then Rasulullah also shows some amazement. And وَيَصْبِرُ لِلْغَرِيبِ عَلَى الْجَفْوَ فِي مَنْطِقِهِ وَمَسْأَلَتِهِ. See, a stranger would come. And most of the time it was a Bedouin coming from the rural area, from far. As I mentioned previously, they did not have that amount of knowledge that the people living in Madinah Munawwara had, mannerism, etiquette. They had a very rugged and coarse, hard life. They were all the time with the animals and livestock. Like once a Bedouin comes in the masjid of Rasulullah, he stands one corner, is urinating in the masjid. Now you know what will happen to us. Rasulullah saw the Sahaba going to stop him. He says, just stop, leave him alone. Don't say anything. Let him relieve himself. I mentioned this to the other majlis. Let him relieve himself, because at that time, if you go shout and the person holds back his urine, he could damage his body, his kidneys. This is Rasulullah saying, leave him. When he finished, all he asked, well, bring a bucket of water. Just wash that area. Became parks off. He called the person aside. He nicely explained to him, see, this is the masjid. We read salat here, dhikr, tilawat of the Quran. It's not meant for any dirt. It's not built. It's not suitable for dirt, urine, stool, etc. And Sahabi would then understand. So nicely. So he'll make sabr. Sometimes there's a narration. Sahaba sitting with Rasulullah, and they see in a distance a man coming, a Bedouin. From far, he's shouting, Ya Muhammad! Ya Muhammad! Sahaba saying, Wayak, ughdud sawtak. Lower your voice. You're by Rasulullah. He still didn't understand. He's still shouting, Ya Muhammad! Ya Muhammad! So Rasulullah would make sabr. He'd be patient with the harshness of these Bedouins who would come, or strangers, in the manner of speaking to him and manner in which they would ask him sometimes something. He would remain, he would make sabr and listen to them with a smiling face. And in fact, sometimes these people would come and they would ask million-dollar questions. Beautiful questions. Sahaba would say, as mentioned in the hadith, حَتَّى إِنْ كَانَ أَصْحَابُهُ لَيَسْتَجْلِبُونَهُمْ, that the Sahaba sometimes would wait for a visitor to come, because he would come and ask some beautiful questions, and then Rasulullah would then expound and give a beautiful answer, and they all will benefit. And they were waiting for occasions to benefit, to get ta'aleem from Rasulullah. Because most of them had that awe for Rasulullah, that extra respect, sometimes it became a bit hard to ask. So they would wait for these occasions when an outsider would come, and then they would take, they will seize this opportunity that when he's asking, and look at the brilliant answers Rasulullah gave. Like in that one incident I said, when the Bedouin, he came and spoke to Rasulullah in that way. But what beautiful questions he had. And one of the questions he asked, Ya Rasulullah, he said, what about a person? Al-mar'u yuhibbu qawman walamma yalhaq bihim. A man loves a group of people, but he never meet them. In other words, they left this world before he even came in this world. But when he reads about them, and he He has heard about them. He's got love for them. What will there be any connection between the two on the day of Qiyamah? Rasulullah gave a beautiful answer. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. On the day of Qiyamah, whomsoever you loved in this world will be raised with that person. Now you and I are already thinking who we love in this world, who will be raised with. Sahaba became overjoyed. Anas radiallahu anhu says, after accepting Islam, there wasn't a more joyous occasion than that occasion when his Bedouin asked his question to Rasulullah. And this is the reply he gave, because we wanted to be raised with Rasulullah on the day of Qiyamah. And Rasulullah is saying, Al mar'u ma'a man ahabba. You'll be raised on the day of Qiyamah with that person who you love. And then Rasulullah says, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ طَالِبَ حَاجَةٍ يَطْلُبُهَا فَأَرْفِدُوهُ. When you see a person in need, assist him. Help him. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, Muslim Ummah has got this great quality that we are always generous in helping different causes. Allah accept all the sadaqat, khairat that we do. It is through these things that Allah Ta'ala saves us from bala, afat, musibat. Then Rasulullah is mentioned, وَلَا يَقْبَلُ الثَّنَا وَلَا يَقْبَلُ الثَّنَا إِلَّا مِن مُكَافِئٍ. He never liked people praising him. He will accept the praise only from a person to whom Rasulullah did some favor and good, and in response to that, he praised Rasulullah in manner of thanking Rasulullah. So he praised Rasulullah. So he would just accept, and only that amount, he won't let him go beyond that. Otherwise, he won't like anybody just coming and just praising him for no reason. ولا يقطع ولا أحد حديثه حتى يجوز فيقطعه بنهي أو قيام. If somebody is speaking, he won't just break his speech. He won't just stop him there, unless he said something which is inappropriate, wrong. Then Rasul would prohibit him, or sometimes he would just move away if the person used some wrong type of words, or he said something which is totally incorrect. Some would rectify him, stop him from it, and Rasulullah would then leave the gathering. So this is just one hadith of Rasulullah. Time has expired. Inshallah, next week, Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat, then we'll continue another one like this. Beautiful lessons. Sometimes things are repeated, but the more repetition we get, it is for our own benefit, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, give all of us tawfiq to become good human beings, good believers, good followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what we need to bring in our lives. Go back home with a quote of Mawlana Rumi rahmatullahi alayhi also, that we should not be raising our voice. Raise your words, not your voices. It is rain that brings flowers and roses, not thunder. So if we do it in a polite way at workplace also, try, change your attitude towards your workers. Change your attitude towards your boss. Change the attitude towards your friends and people. Inshallah, there will be a time when we will find ourselves having made great progress. Otherwise, we will just remain like this. We claim we love Rasulullah. We don't have the sunnah of Rasulullah. I mentioned this, and we'll terminate here, that this hadith I mentioned many, 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 many times. And I also reflect on it. Sometime in the morning you wake up, somebody did something to you, hurt your feelings, and immediately the thought comes, and shaitan, now he plays on your emotions. Shaitan is so cunning. So he'll make you, he did that to you, or she said that to you, he did that, and that person. So you start in your morning with some malice in your heart and hatred. Think of the hadith where Rasulullah said to Anas radiallahu anhu, Ya bunayya in qadarta an tusbiha wa tumsiya wa laysa fi qalbika ghishun li ahadin faf'al wa dhalika min sunnati. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ سُنَّتِي فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي كَانَ مَعِيَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. O Anas, if you are able every morning and evening to reflect and see your heart has no malice, enmity in your heart for any person, then do so, because this is my sunnah. This is my way of life. And that person who loves my sunnah, what are we talking about? What is sunnah here? Not having malice for any person. Nobody talks about this sunnah. We talk about other do's and other things. This sunnah is to abstain from having malice in our heart. It's hard. It's difficult. Sometimes somebody really did some zulam upon you. And now just think that it's Qiyamah. And you need to go into Jannah. And Allah tells you, just take out that malice from your heart and you are going to Jannah. Will you have malice in your heart then? Never. In fact, In fact, Quran talks about people who are about to enter Jannah. The Jannah is going to go to Jannah. But before they enter Jannah, Allah says, وَنَزَّعْنَا مَا فِي سُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلِّ. We will pull out, you will extract that malice from their hearts. So when you go into Jannah, your heart is absolutely clean, pure, park, soft. This start from now, inshallah, when you go there, Jannah, we already have a park, soft heart. So he said, this is my sunnah. And whoever loves my sunnah loves me. And whoever loves me will be with me in Jannah. We want to be with Rasulullah in Jannah? We have to have true love for Rasulullah. True love, we must mean practice on his sunnah, love his sunnah. And his sunnah is talking about these beautiful qualities that we all need to bring in our lives. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ